Well, good morning, everyone. I'm not preaching on the gospel, but when I was a young boy, we would travel on the Hume Highway to go to Melbourne. And there was a building, quite a large building, on the right-hand side of the road. I can still remember it. Red brick. Can you remember it, John? And it was there, and it was in a state of never being ever finished. And as a boy, I didn't even know this passage in the scripture existed. But when I came to recognise this passage that if a builder starts to build something and can't go, I always thought about this building. And it wasn't until about, at least 20, 25 years later, I suppose, that somebody bought it and it's been turned into, I think, a timber yard or something like that. Now, not travelling down the Hume, I don't see it, but it always reminded me, yeah, you're right, Jesus, they couldn't finish it. That's not the sermon for this morning. Please, so those of you who are watching us this morning, that was just a little introduction to the gospel. So I hope that you'll forgive me for remembering my childhood. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we pray from it that you will encourage us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at chapters 25, 27, 28, up to verse 22 of Genesis. I'm exhausted just thinking about it. And people have been working hard to present what's in Genesis. And in a way, when you're trying to cover so many verses of Scripture, it really is an historical walk through that Scripture to remind us of all that our amazing God was doing in those early days. While at the same time, we've seen how humankind has been working to be in control. The only one who we think about who wasn't like that was Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Do you remember singing that when you were younger? Yes, all right. John, we got a lot in common. All right. But then God does something which is quite amazing, insofar as he chooses two people, Abraham and Sarah, with the intention that from them he will build a nation that belongs to him, to God himself. And in verses 12 and verses 2 to 5, we see God's promise to Abraham. But in the letter to the Hebrews, we're told how by faith Abraham and Sarah had a son. And the writer says of Abraham that he was as good as dead. In other words, he was pretty ancient, over 100. When God promises to keep his word and does things in his time and in his way, we see it as being something that would be impossible for us to fulfill. Abraham had two sons. Isaac was the son of promise. He married Rebekah, and she gave birth to two sons. And before their birth, Rebekah is told that the older, the first one born, will serve the younger. In antiquity, that wasn't the way it worked. At the birth of the boys, the younger Jacob, as we've heard, holds the heel of his brother, the firstborn. Now, the name Jacob means tripper or supplanter. And when you consider how Jacob was able to take Esau's birthright, the name seems to fit him pretty well. In a way, what happened was as much Esau's fault as it was Jacob's cunning. Esau could only think of his immediate need. And at that time, his immediate need was his stomach. He wanted food. And how easy it is to want our earthly needs to be fulfilled, and in a way we want them to be fulfilled now. It's easy to disregard what God wants for us. You know, we think about possessions, money, power, and we'll take them at any cost. Rebekah had a soft spot for Jacob, while Esau was more his father's boy. Jacob being around the tents, I often think of Jacob as being a mummy's boy. Whether that's right or not, I don't know. While Esau, he was an outdoor boy, and he was his father's boy. Furthermore, it would appear that Esau enjoyed his food, with the result that he was prepared to give his birthright, his right to receive the privileges of being the firstborn son, including the blessing his father was to give him, to give that birthright away for a plate of stew. And this was something that he would regret for the rest of his life, because choices have consequences. We all make choices, don't we? But I wonder if we think about the long-term costs. When Isaac, who by the way was blind at this particular point of time and was nearing death, he requested Esau to go out into the fields and catch some game and prepare a meal for him, planning to give Esau his blessing. Now Rebekah, she was a pretty sharp cookie, and who was a significant player in how the plan of God was to be achieved and how this very small family was to become a nation. Rebekah hears Isaac requesting Esau, and so she implements a plan to place Jacob in Esau's place. She tells Jacob to prepare a couple of goats and she'd cook them and make a meal for Isaac. Not only that, this is how cunning she was. She gets some of Esau's clothes for Jacob to wear, so that if his father sniffs, he will think that it is Esau. But she goes even further, so that when Jacob was to say, Esau was a hairy man and I am a smooth man, she tells Jacob to get some skin from these animals, these goats, and to put them around his neck and on his hands. I suppose that you could call Rebekah a schemer, but for all the right reasons. I'll tell you a little story. When I was in Ridley College, my roommate, he was a smooth man, and he would only have to shave once a week. And so at the end of that week, he'd open up his electric shaver and he'd blow whatever was there, and he'd say, my father is a hairy man, but I am a smooth man. And so he was always remembering this particular verse of scripture. But we know that Rebekah and Jacob pulled this off with a well thought out plan. Jacob is blessed by his father Isaac. The blessing that Jacob receives from his father Isaac is specific and places him in the position of authority over his brother Esau. The blessing points to what Rebekah had been told from birth. But let's look at this blessing that Esau gave Jacob. Isaac said, ah, the smell of my son, see the clothes, is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and the earth's richness and an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. That's some kind of a blessing, isn't it? Well, today is Father's Day, and I just wonder whether any of you fathers out there have ever thought about giving your sons and your daughters, of course, a blessing. Is that something you've ever thought about? It's worth thinking about, really, isn't it? Passing on to them a blessing from God, from the God who you follow, who you believe in, who you trust in. I'm hoping that for my son and my daughter, I will pass on a blessing to them. I don't want to do it before it's too late, but I want to pass on a blessing to them. But this blessing was bestowed on Jacob. But as for Esau, if you were to read on, he asked his father for a blessing. And I think what Esau got was really sad. I'm not going to read it. And as a result of all this, Esau was determined that he would kill his younger brother Jacob. But he would wait first until his father died. But in all of this, we see how Esau had made his choice and how he has to live with that choice that he's made. The anger comes because he made a short-term choice for the benefit of himself. He has not given God a place in his life. Esau is a worldly man. But again, Rebekah intervenes, sending Jacob to her brother Laban in Padan Aram in order to save his life. But Rebekah tells her husband Isaac, who is old and blind, that it's because she doesn't want Jacob to marry a Canaanite woman amongst whom they live. And again, Isaac blesses Jacob and sends him on his way. This would be no small trip that Jacob would take, this young man who I would think was not open to the open country like his brother was. He would have many challenges because the distance would have been well over 1,000 kilometres. We're told that on the first night of Jacob's travel, he's sleeping under the stars, no motel, that he took a stone for a pillow and rested his head upon it. And in sleep he had a dream, and it was clear that that dream was from God. Do you have dreams? Do you have dreams? Do you remember those dreams when you wake up in the morning? Or do you just think, oh, I had a dream? Well, we had one of our retired clergy gatherings, which we have once a month. And one of our brothers said he'd had a dream. And he's starting to record these dreams to see if he can see if God is speaking to him through them. We shouldn't just throw aside dreams, because the people in the Middle East, they do have dreams. And we're encouraged, we are encouraged to pray for them, especially during the month of Ramadan, that they might have a vision or they might have a dream where they see or they hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to them. Do you believe that? We should, because we know of those who have been converted to Christianity because of a dream that they have had. Well, Jacob's dream is a stairway from earth to heaven with angels and ascending and descending. But above this stood the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Jacob. This is a promise that God is making to him. And God tells him that he is the God of Abraham and the God of his father Isaac. He promises to give him the land that he is lying on, and that his descendants will also have this land. Again, we see the promise of God is making to this small family in order to make them a great nation. And he tells Jacob that of all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through him and his offspring. An amazing promise. For as far as this has been, he's been faithful through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised that there would be descendants, and one of those descendants was none other than Jesus. It's through him that we have been blessed. We have received this blessing. And finally, he tells Jacob that he will watch over him and bring him back to this land he is lying on. Well, Jacob wakes up saying, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And Jacob worships the Lord. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am making, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up on a pillar will be God's house. And of all that I give you, that you give me, I will give you a tenth." It's the second time in Scripture that we see a tenth being mentioned. The first time was Abraham, when he had a bit of a battle, and he promised at the end of that to give a tenth to Melchizedek. What do we return to God of everything that we have received? And we've received more than Jacob ever did, because we have been given our Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. But I guess we need to think about material possessions as well. So if I was to ask you to stop for a moment and ask yourselves, how thankful am I really? And what do I return to him for showing my thankfulness, my love to him as I continue on my journey? How would you answer? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that great plan that you have put into action. A plan which slowly unfolds as we read about it in Scripture. A plan which has been fulfilled. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we have been recipients of that plan, having been blessed through our Lord Jesus Christ and the life that he has promised us as a result of his death and resurrection, Lord, help us to continually look to what it is that you have in store for us. And help us to be faithful in following that plan, but also help us, Lord, to return to you gifts that recognize our thankfulness for all that you have done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.